Let's pray. Father, I give you the glory, Lord. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here, Father. Come and fill this place, fill the atmosphere, the song says. And your glory is what we seek, Father. And everything that we do here, Lord, is for you, Father. I pray for each one that's here today, Lord. I pray for this message today that I can reveal my heart and share your word, Father, your truth, Lord, because we can't do anything without it, Father. And I just love you today, Lord, and I just give you the glory, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Ben, for just the faithfulness to worship. Thank you, Jason and Joe, who do incredible PowerPoint slides. John, thank you for the sound. This Wednesday we'll be married 43 years. That's pretty powerful. How do you do it, man? If we got married in 1976 when the greatest R&B soul jazz album was ever released in the world, Songs in the Key of Life by Stevie Wonder, was released September something in 1976. And I thought about, well, the key to our marriage is Jesus, without a doubt, you know, keeping him in the center of our life. There was a song that came out in 1961. How many people were living in 1961? Raise your hand. Praise, we got a couple. Praise God. Nate, you weren't living in 61, man. You're young, man. Hannah was? Oh, no. I was teasing. Your dad was, I know. Praise God. 1961, there was a song by a guy named Dion. His last name was DiMucci, kind of like an Italian bro. But his lyrics said this, because I'm a wanderer, yeah, I'm a wanderer. I roam around and around and around. Oh, well, I roam from town to town. I go through life without a care, and I'm as happy as a clown. And with my two fists of iron, but I'm going nowhere. That's a powerful statement. I'm going nowhere. And then Joe Jordan sent me some words about Dion, because I knew later on he became a Christian. I remember I had an album by him, and he did a great reggae version of Proverbs chapter 3. But it said it was, his story was, it was right after the movie Rebel Without a Cause. Anybody remember that movie? Powerful movie. Elizabeth wasn't born then. But had Rebel Without a Cause had come out with James Dean and Natalie Wood. Oh, I was in love with Natalie Wood when I was 7 years old. But DiMucci, Dion, remembers his parish priest seeing him on the street and asking him about the movie. And he said, Dion, why don't you rebel for the truth, or rebel for the truth? Why rebel without a cause? The priest asked him. Pretty cool question. And rebel for the truth, you really got something. I didn't know what he was talking about, Dion recalled, but it stuck with me because nobody said these things on the street corners. And Dion admitted the truth of the parish priest street advice became apparent when he became successful. He made a few million dollars. He married a girl named Susan, the beautiful girl of his dreams. He brought a fancy car, got a guitar. Pete might have that same guitar right now that he's always wanted. And those were the things that when Dion was a teenager, he told the priest that would make him happy. He said, I'm at the top of my profession. Something was definitely missing later on in his life. I had no idea, but something was missing. And then he got involved in drugs. I know none of the teenagers here are going to do that. He got involved with alcohol. I know none of the teenagers are going to drink here. But he came addicted by the time he was 28. And then he experienced a heartbreak. Some of his friends were killed in a plane crash. You know, some successful friends, yeah. And he said, struggling with his addiction, he recounted getting on his knees in 1968, praying and telling God that he needed help. He described himself being overcome by a spiritual awakening. He said, I got off my knees and I was changed forever. So he was a wanderer for a long time. So I'm supposed to ask you here today, how many of you here this morning have ever wandered in their walk with God? Ever wandered in their life? You feel like you were going nowhere, like he sang in the song. You feel like you're not accomplishing anything in your life. And the prophet Isaiah, he compared us to sheep, a common biblical term, biblical image of God's people. This isn't a term for people in general. These are God's people Isaiah's talking about. This isn't a term for them. It's for God's people. It's for the chosen. It's for the believed people. And at various times in our life, we're like sheep. We do dumb things, we're helpless, and we start wandering. The verse says this, all we like sheep. It doesn't ask the question, are we like sheep? The verse asks the question, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, Isaiah wrote, every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. When it says him, he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about Jesus, a capital H. He laid on him the iniquity of us all. And when you look at that word astray, it means off course or off track or off target. Anybody been in that way in their relationship with God through the years? Off track, off target, off course. And as we grow in our relationship with God, we have to remember that it's a process, not perfection. This is where I struggle. The biblical word for process is sanctification. And sanctification means to set apart or to make holy or to purify us. And the journey of sanctification and spiritual maturity is a lifelong process. You know, I was born in 1952, and I'm still in this process of growing into my relationship with God. And along that journey, every one of our life journeys, we're going to experience these things, mistakes. We're going to experience failures. We're going to experience frustrations and imperfections during our life. We start lost. Everything starts, we're lost. Jesus knocks on the door of our heart and we surrender our life to him, but we're still prone to wonder. That's what this message is about. And the two main verses are the last two verses in the book of James, chapter 5, 19 and 20. It says, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Now, wandering in the context of the book of James refers to any intentional or unintentional departure from the truth of the gospel in word or in deed. And I think that this type of behavior that James is talking about or he's addressing here can happen without notice. It happened to me the past few months. I'm being honest with you, I've been struggling. I grabbed a hold of a few elders, took them out to lunch a couple weeks ago because I've been struggling with the size of the church. I've been struggling about the church not growing, and I got to be honest with you, man, I've been blaming myself. And I'm starting to think that, you know, maybe I'm not doing something right. Then I realize that I got pride, man. And it's hard for me to stand up here and tell you that, but I got pride because I think I'm good. I think I know the Bible good enough. I think I know Scripture's good enough. And the Lord's really been dealing with me about it. Eric Kofax, in his message a few weeks ago, he says, are you focusing on the problem or the problem solver? And I think I've been focusing on the problem. Then I made a statement a couple weeks later when I was talking about Peter. I made this statement, somewhere along the way, Peter became less dependent on Christ and more secure in his faith. That's me. That's me. And I feel like, you know, earlier in James, I didn't put this in your listening guide, but in James 5:16, it says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So I feel this is kind of like a confession thing for me because I started to think that I did it. when I think back of being a youth pastor and all those kids coming there, over 100 kids and stuff, I really started thinking maybe I did that 3 or 4 years ago when Covenant Christian Academy was here. Before the school started, the leaders of the church along with the teachers came to me and said, hey, our school's starting next week. We'd like to go around and pray for every room here. And I said, well, I'd like to do that with you. So we went around to every room for, I don't know, it took well over an hour just praying. And when we got in the fellowship hall, they looked me right in the eye and said, Pastor Nick, we want to pray for you. And when I look back at that time, I thought to myself, I'm pretty good, man. That's sad. That is a sad state to be in. I'm pretty good. I'm doing good. You know, I'm learning the scriptures. I know the scriptures. And they prayed for me, and I was released. I mean, I felt like, God, I really do need this. So it's been a struggle for me lately that I feel like I'm secure in my faith, but I'm not putting my trust more in Him. I'm not allowing Him to work in me. And it's very important. And then last Sunday, the Lord brought someone here that spoke life into me after the service. Because we were talking about children and raising kids, and we were talking about a neighbor having trouble in their marriage, and she made the statement, well, that years ago I struggled with my son and his wife, and I kept praying, and I felt like God was asking me the question, what is it that you think I can't do? It's powerful. What is it you think that I can't do? And that's God talking to us. And this is why we need brothers and sisters in Christ. And James is calling his readers, which is us, to bring us back the way a shepherd brings his sheep back to the fold. So if you want to keep from wandering, because I thought to myself, well, in this message, I have to give some proof from God's word. What do we have to do to keep ourselves from wandering? I mean, you guys that have gone away from college, when you go away to college, man, it's a different world. Your parents aren't there. You're off on your own. And there's going to be a lot of things going on, a lot of things given to you or told that, you know, if you do this, you're going to be happy. But if we want to keep from wandering, I really think it's important for every one of us, myself included, to include ourselves in these things. Fellowship, so important. Means gathering together, growing in our friendships with one another. It's just so important to do those types of things. It's important to fellowship with one another. And someone here, I had some verses, Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. So it's important that we fellowship with one another. Two, it's important that we have discipleship, that we do grow, because Bible study helps you grow in your relationship with God. 2 Timothy 2:15, Bill and I were talking about it this morning. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're not going to learn the Bible if you don't get into it. So we have to fellowship with one another. We have to make sure we're discipling one another. And we have to worship. We have to worship. And not only here in church on Sunday, but that's our lifestyle. When I say worshiping God, it's how we live our lives. Outside these walls and inside these walls. It's huge. Our lifestyle, our prayer life, our giving has to do with our worship to God. How we give shows how much we worship God. It's a fact. There's no doubt about it. John 4:23 says, but the hour is coming and now is here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father's seeking people to worship Him. And then evangelism. We need evangelism, meaning we have to share our faith. It means we become ambassadors. You can look that up in 2 Corinthians 5:20-21. And then ministry. So important. Ministry is our serving. Without a doubt, Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so it builds itself up in love. And I've seen over the years, because I've been saved since 1981, I've seen over the years a lot of Christians shy away from those five things. They shy away from the worship and the fellowship and the discipleship and the evangelism and the ministry. And they shy away from those things. And you know what happens when you shy away from the thing? You wander. You wander. You start wandering away from the purpose God has for you. And through the years, I've heard every excuse ever made. It's too hard. I don't know enough. I don't have enough time. I really don't care about the Bible. I have my own life to live. I'm too busy. I have my own problems. God's not going to use me. I've gone astray. And all those excuses the enemy loves. He wants nothing else but for you to have an excuse, because he doesn't want you to fellowship. He doesn't want you to be discipled. He doesn't want you to worship. He doesn't want you to be involved in a personal growth as well as helping others to grow. And the result is wandering. Now, Jesus had this parable in Luke chapter 15. It says, now the tax collectors and the sinners were all drawing near to him. That's exciting. I'd love for them to come here. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And I thought to myself, they had excuses back then. We're not going to come there. This man receives sinners and eats with them. We're not going to go around with Jesus. So Jesus told him this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in an open country and go after that one as lost until he finds it, with a question mark? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. And just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. So when I read that parable, I think to myself how important the loss should be to us, whether they're our neighbors or even in our own family, how important they should be with us, because they're wandering. And because they wander, there are those we know that wander, and we wander from time to time, and we need each other. We got to get involved in the work of the Lord. We just can't sit back and think we're doing our time because we're coming in here and punching a clock and coming here. Because if you just come here just for Sunday and just walk out of here not taking the things with you, or taking the Bible with you, or the love of God with you, you're not going to grow and you're not going to learn, and you're going to not make a difference with people who are wandering. The enemy wants us to wander. The enemy wants us not involved. When you see someone wandering, you need to reach out to them. And I'll say it again, my brothers, if anyone among you is wandering from the truth and someone brings them back, let them know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover over a multitude of sins. So I pray there are people here wandering today. I want wandering people to come in here. I'd imagine on Wednesday night when all the teens are here, I think Pastor Caleb and the other youth leaders that are helping, they want to help people to return to Jesus. They want to help people who are wandering and not getting plugged into God to come back to him. So we have to get involved. And that's why we have community groups here. That's why we have Wednesday nights here. So we can grow. We can fellowship with each other. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And we have to realize that we're utterly and completely dependent upon God's grace to save us from ourselves. And following Christ requires us to take up our cross daily. You see it in the verses. He said to him, if anyone who come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. In the James study we just finished by Matt Chandler, he says, following Christ requires us to take up the cross daily and dying to our desire and to be self-sovereign. Which brings me back to a message that I shared here on Palm Sunday, just 3 points, because there's really only 3 ways we can live as Christians. We can pit our kingdom against His, and that was the route of the Pharisees when you study the gospel and other religious leaders. But Jesus called everybody to repent and believe the gospel and therein find freedom and rescue. And that's why we read what we do in Revelation 21:8. I think a lot of people shy away from this verse because they'll be called many names for sharing this. But as for the cowardly and the faithless and the detestable, as for murderers and the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in a lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So we can live our lives, and when I say pit our kingdom against Him, we don't even know Him at that point. But we can come to know Him and surrender our lives to Him, but then we can try to add His kingdom of ours, because we don't want to change. We still want to have all our stuff and do what we want with who we want whenever we want. And you read Luke chapter 9, 57 through 62, read it this week. Because others tried to add Jesus' kingdom to their own. And we read of those in those verses. And they said they wanted to follow Jesus. But what they really meant was they wanted to add Jesus' kingdom to their own. They weren't willing to forsake their own kingdom. They wanted both. And when Jesus called His first disciples, when you read it in disciples, He called them away from their fishing boats. He called them, they had to leave their nets behind. They called them away from sin and disobedience. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, when Jesus calls a man, He bids him to come and die. We cannot keep our kingdom and have His as well. Or the third way, which I like to live, we can allow His kingdom to replace ours. Jesus tells us the only fitting response to His kingdom is to repent and believe the gospel. And what does that mean to believe the gospel? And I put this in your listening guide because you might come across someone who wants to know that. He means believe the good news that Jesus' kingdom is here. And place your faith and trust in Jesus as the King of Kingdom. Luke 8:21 says, my mother and brothers, Jesus said, my mother and brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And do it. Matt Chandler shared in the James study, James left no room in his letter for the idea of hearing the truth and not doing what it says. He shared he didn't want his believers, his readers, to deceive themselves into thinking they could be Christians by merely believing the right things and maybe even saying the right thing. But following Jesus requires action, not wondering, I add. Yeah, because I'm a wanderer. Yeah, a wanderer. I roam around and around. Oh, well, I roam from town to town. I roam from town to town. I roam from church to church. I roam from relationship to relationship. I roam from idol to idol. I roam from excuse to excuse. I go through life without a care. And I'm unhappy. I'm happy as a clown. But with my two fists of iron, I'm going nowhere. Why? Because you're wandering. You're wandering. You're not living for Him. So as a disciple, you not only have to believe that Jesus is worth following, but you have to take steps to grow. And how do we do that? Fellowship, discipleship, worship, evangelism, and ministry. Get ready to close. And I found verses in the Bible that I had forgotten about, because really this is the should be the goal for every church, and it's found in Ephesians 4 11 through 16. This is our goal. This is our purpose. This is what we want to do as a church. He said He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. Why did He do that? Why did God do that? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. That's what we want to do here every week. Equip you for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity and the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. The scripture says, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, or by the ways and carried around by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by the craftiness of deceitful schemes. That's the media of verse 14. Tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes, rather speaking the truth in love, we ought to grow up in every way into him who is the head of Christ, whom the whole body joined, held together by every joint with which is equipped, when each part is working properly and making the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. So whether our wandering is self-indulgent worldliness or self-righteous arrogance, our Father freely offers his goodness and grace to the wanderer who returns. His loving embrace welcomes us home. So is there anyone here today, as the band goes forward, that needs to return home? That's why we have an altar call here. And I thought to myself, you're thinking about that altar call, and I'm thinking, come. Come to me who all labor and heavy laden. Maybe heavy laden from wandering. Maybe from struggling. Maybe from being lukewarm in their relationship with God, or their marriage, or their relationship with a child, or your job, or you know someone who's wandering and you want to help them and pray for them. Come on up, ushers. Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord. Father, I pray as we search our hearts and realize what wandering looks like in your eyes, Father. So, Father, I pray it's this time as we come forward just to worship you, Lord. Come forward to bring our prayers to you, our needs to you, our confessions to you, and even our celebrations to you, Father. And I just thank you for all you're doing, Lord. Help me be humble, Father. Help me to focus on you as the problem solver and not about my own security and my faith, Father. And I just give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.